Praise the Lord. Right, and looking at the life of Joseph and the various tests and trials he had to face to prepare him and make him ready for his destiny, we've got to number 6 of 10. And this one is called the prophetic test. When God wants to create something, he speaks it into being. And we see that happening right from the start of creation. If you look in Genesis 1, verse 3, he says, "Let there be light." In Genesis 1, verse 26, he says, "Let us make man in our image." And throughout this chapter, we see God speaking creation into being. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And just from what we know from science today alone, there's lots of things around us are made of things which are not visible. Atomic particles and everything and matter that comes together. It's so minute, it's not seen. It's in the background there, but it's there. And God controls all that, praise the Lord. John 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and his Word are one. All things are made through his Word. The Word refers to Jesus. He called his own Son the Word. And when God has a plan for something, he speaks it forth and the power is released. And God had a plan for Joseph. Therefore, he will have spoken over Joseph's life just before he had the dreams, just as he has spoken over anyone who is called and is born again. He's spoken over our lives. That's why we're sat here today. And those words go forth from him and they call us forward. Before Joseph endured his first test, God had already spoken over him the final outcome. Long before Joseph stepped into his destiny, the power of God's word had already been released to carry him toward that destiny. And God has a place for every one of us. That means that God has already spoken his plan over each one of us, a prophetic word with all his power and his resources to see his will for our lives fulfilled. And it's for us to find out the specific words God has spoken over our lives. Believe the prophetic words and obey him. If we want to know God's prophetic words for our lives, all we have to do is ask him. And Matthew 21, 22 says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it." So if you want to know what your destiny is in God, what God's plan for your future is, if you want some insight into what he's got, ask him. He's longing to let that forth into you. Now, don't expect him to tell you all the detail. And there's some things it's better you don't know, because you wouldn't handle it. Depending on where you're at along the road, you wouldn't handle it in your journey yet. And if somebody told you you had to go through certain things further on down the road to enable you to move on into X, Y, or Z, your heart almost inside, you would almost fail for fear, thinking, how on earth am I going to cope with this and deal with this? But God works in us. He develops us. He develops character in us. His word works away inside us and brings us to a place where his word can live in us. You know, the destiny in us can be fulfilled. And John 16, 24 says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So there's a joy in asking him. It's not something to fear what he's going to say. There's a joy is going to come from it. And Joseph went through some tough times. He must have wondered if the words God had spoken over his life would ever come to pass. But all the time, the prophetic word was working to bring Joseph to the place where God's plan for him could come to fruition. And we have to remember that we're exactly the same. It's a picture for us. We're no different. God's word is working all the time. And no matter what you go through, whether it's through your own fault or whether it's because it's something you need developing in you, because sometimes we do go through things through our own fault. We step out of line, we move out of the blessing, and we do something that perhaps wasn't right, and the Lord told us to do one thing, we do something else. But it's the scripture says all things work together for good to those that love God. The word of God continues to work in us. And regardless how desperate and despairing Joseph's situation was, it was for him to hold fast to God's word. And we need to hold fast to God's word. And how often have you heard, even in our little church, have you heard a brother or a sister complaining, oh, well, I've had this, and, you know, oh, I was expecting this to happen, and God told me this, and the word says, but now I find myself like this. Oh, no. That's wrong. Take a complete turnaround. Start thanking him. Start taking hold of the promises. Start believing his word. Start applying it to your life. And then the fruit of that word can come forward. Psalm 105, 17 to 22 says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to bind his princes at pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Well, he'd obviously seen something that God was doing in Joseph's life. Even though he wasn't a Christian, he saw what, you know, the wisdom of God working. He had him, you know, there was a Hebrew slave being set in a position where he was going to educate the elders of Egypt. And Egypt was no back of the way place. Egypt was leading the world in lots of things. You look at back at Egypt's history and what they had and that. You know, and yet there was this guy here, Joseph. But there's a couple of words I want to look at in what was said here. Verse 19, the word appears twice in this verse, but each has a different meaning. The Hebrew words debar and imrah are actually used. And what the verse actually says is, until the time that his debar came to pass, the imrah of the Lord tested him. Now, debar is used 1,441 times in the Old Testament and means a matter that is spoken of. And for those who like numerics, I'm sure it would be interesting to see what 1441 comes to as being the power of whatever and what it draws out. The next one's interesting as well. And that is Imrah. Now, that's used 37 times. Now, that's quite a significant number, isn't it, in the word? It's used 37 times in the Old Testament and means commandment and refers to the very word of God. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's that furnace is tried, it's pure. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Unless you know that word, how do you know if you're sinning against God? Eh? But each time word is used, it is the word Imrah in those verses we've read, the literal word of God. So if we were to go back and look at Psalm 105:19 again bring out those two translations, it would actually say, until the time that Joseph's prophetic spoken word came to pass, the literal word of God tested him. And we've been spoken over. God's spoken into our lives at different times. Now, that prophetic word works, but the literal word of God will test us along the way. The two go hand in hand. The prophetic word tests our faith. You're prepared to believe God. You need to find out if it is from God. We'll look at all that in a bit. The prophetic word, it'll test your faith. But on the literal word of God, it tests your character. It's to do with the heart. Where, you know, will you hang in there? Have you got the character? The literal word of God is the Bible. It is essential that we know the word of God. It is the word by which all other words from God must be measured. And God has declared his word to us in the Bible, and that word is testing us. Whether we reach our destiny or not is directly related to how well we know God's word, as revealed in the Bible. And you'll see why as we go along. If we don't know the word of God, we won't know we are violating scripture. God's got it all there for us. We're fortunate. You take the earlier patriarchs, Abraham and Moses and the others, they didn't have a Bible to go back to. God would speak to them bit by bit. Things were being recorded. They go back and look at what he said there. But we're at the other end in the New Testament where we've got this wealth of experience these people have been through. They've understood. The prophetic's been spoken into their lives. We've seen it worked out. The prophetic has been spoken of for times we are yet ahead of us, but we can see times being fulfilled. Things we thought were being fulfilled with certain times of our lives to do with events in the world. And I remember when the year 2000 came back, everybody expected, oh, it's going to be back 2 years out, 2,000 years, that's it, and all the rest of it, you know. Yeah, he's coming back, for sure. But time, that proves things, doesn't it? If you don't read the Bible, you won't know what it says. And if you don't know what it says, you will not know how to live. It's our rule book, it's our guide. Read it, meditate on it, memorize it, get to know it, and you'll get to know God. It's through his word he reveals it. He's not going to say anything else. He's put it all down there for us. It's there. Take hold of it. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, and don't let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That word life is the word chei, I think you pronounce it. You can see the spelling of it on screen there. It's Strong's reference 02416. And it means alive. For they are alive to those that find them. And health. And the word health is marpe. Strong 04832. And the definition of that is a medicine, a cure. Deliverance. So they're alive. So if you look at verse 22, for they're alive unto those that find them. And they're a cure, they're a medicine, they're deliverance, they're curative. It's not just health, it's greater than that. If something's not right, it puts it right. It's curative. Jeremiah 1:12. Then said the Lord unto me, that's Jeremiah. Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Hasten is the word shakad, or shulkad, however you pronounce that word. 08245 is a Strong's reference, if you want to look it up. And it means sleepless, hence to be on the lookout. Hasten, remain, awake, watch. So, for I will remain awake. I'm constantly on the lookout to perform my word. No word of God's going to fall by the way. We are blessed. We have the Bible. All Joseph had was the prophetic word God had put in his heart. Joseph must have held on to that word and believed it. The word of God spoken into his life had the power to bring Joseph to his destiny. Yeah, and Joseph got it wrong at first. He went and blabbed what God had put in his, you know, spoken to him. And there's an important lesson there about the prophetic. I believe that we shouldn't go about bragging and saying, well, God has prophesied I'm going to be this and or whatever. Because without realizing as well, sometimes people are trying to influence decisions around them. Oh, well, we ought to let him do that because he's had the word of God. No. There's timing. God's, from the time you receive that word to the time the prophetic actually comes to fulfillment, there's sometimes many, many years. We looked at previous sessions about how long it was before people like Moses stepped into their destiny. Joseph was 13 full years, 17 years old when he received those dreams, of prophetic dreams on his life. But he went out and he bragged about it. He told his brothers and that, who hated him for it. You know, what a whippersnapper. You think he's going to rule over us? We're going to bow to him and all the rest of it. He was unwise. And we need to be wise with what God gives us. Otherwise, we'll be thinking, well, why isn't it working out? Why isn't this happening? Well, it's because we need to learn a bit of wisdom. And there's a process to go through. Yeah, we're blessed. And so Joseph held on. And the word of God spoken into his life had the power to bring Joseph to his destiny. And the word of God spoken into our lives will do this too. And we are blessed to have God's written words, we said, the Bible, and God's prophetic word. We've got both. We must hold on to both. In addition, God speaks into our hearts as well, doesn't he? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 21. It says, don't quench, suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Don't spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations or nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. Because this is from the Amplified Bible, so it brings it out a bit. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. Abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. And those are all important things along our way. We need to keep ourselves in the place where we can constantly allow the word of God to work and develop us rather than having to take us back to situations in our life, correct ourselves and get back on the path again. Let's keep moving forward. Praise the Lord. And God has given us prophetic word to encourage us and cause us to seek him. God gives you a prophetic word. I was looking actually at a number of prophetic words I'm fortunate enough to have written down. People like Vrenny were a good scribe. When somebody was given the prophecy over one's life, she was there scribbling like mad. And I was looking at these pages of notes I've got and different things. And these some go back to 1988, I believe it was. I was looking at. And yeah, and praise God that they do encourage you. And I thank God now, looking back where I'm at now, I can see those were true words of God. At the time, I didn't know if they were or not. I had to test the word and see. But I've seen God develop those things in my life. I've seen the very situations he said would come about. And yeah, and he's taken me through it. I was thinking whether I'd say something about one of them, but I won't because I don't think it'd be appropriate. But yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:9. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. That is why we must submit it to the word of God, to the Bible. So if somebody comes up and prophesies over you and says something and it contradicts what God says he will do in people's lives, don't believe it. Throw it away. But if you do get something and it does line up with the word of God, then you need to give serious consideration to it. But you don't run off with it. There's a process to go through. God gives us one part to someone and another part to someone else. And it's only by putting the parts together that we get the full picture. Being selective about which part you accept, or from whom you will accept, or which parts you accept because you like it, will not reveal the full picture of what God is saying. God wants us to follow him by faith, so he often doesn't show us the whole picture. And we need to take heed of all the ministry gifts, because they're all pieces of the puzzle. Every ministry gift, every gift, each brother and sister. And it doesn't matter who you are, amongst even the group people sat here, however many of us there are, every one of you, each one of us, has a ministry gift. And some people say, oh, well, I don't see that I have. Well, ask the Lord to reveal it to you, but you'll find you have. And we said this last time, sometimes you get a person who's a stay-at-home person, whether it's a mum or a dad who's a stay-at-home one looking after the kids while the other one's at work, and that even in doing that, that ministry can be so powerful in what it can bring forth. And one could elaborate on loads of different things which might be often looked on by people as perhaps, oh, it's just some little thing they did. They went and took a bunch of flowers to someone and that. But yeah, no, those are important. The timing of those gifts, Father, that person's heart was moved on to do that, the end result from it. And it won't be till eternity comes that you'll suddenly realise just what was building. Because where we are now, you can't see what's ahead as a result of what gets done today. But it will all be stacked up in the future. It'll all make sense. 1 Corinthians 14:29. So let two or three prophets speak, those inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh and discern what is said. And that's really important. And people tend to think, oh, prophets are just people who, you know, come up and say, thus saith the Lord, Vrenny, tomorrow you're going to go home and somebody's going to left an envelope on your doorstep with £100,000 in it. Yeah, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? Hey, you know, and that is a prophetic gift, you know, and that. But a prophetic gift covers more than that. People who teach the word, people who pastor, you know, preach the word. The prophetic is all in there. It's bigger than just somebody standing up saying, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow. We are to test prophecies because the human influence and element will be involved. That is why the Bible tells us to judge prophecy. And it's very easy, isn't it, for you to get collared when you might have a word for somebody, but suddenly your mind thinks about things you know about them, circumstances, whatever, and the old human mind can start to collar it or add to it and whatever. And that's why we've got to judge. And how do we judge it? Well, we judge it by the word of God. That's God's standard, and he never contradicts himself. God warns us that there will be prophecy that contradicts his word. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 3. If a prophet arises amongst you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder he foretells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, gods you've not known, and let us serve them, don't listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God's testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your entire being. God will test us, and as we've said, he'll never violate his word. This is the prophetic test, and Joseph had to take it, and so do we. Psalm 105, verse 19, which we looked at before. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Another way we judge prophecy is by inner witness, by holding it up to what God is saying to us in our own hearts. Because there will be a witness. And if we haven't got that witness, then we need to wait for that witness. We need to ask the Lord about it. And it says in Romans 8:16, The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. So the Spirit will testify together with our own spirit. And when our spirit recognizes the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. And if you receive a prophecy and it doesn't seem to line up with what God has been saying to you in your spirit, don't worry about it. Just put it on the shelf, so to speak. And if the word is from God, he will eventually make that clear to you in your own spirit. Be faithful to God, not to prophecy. Really important. Jeremiah 35, verses 1 to 11 and verses 18 to 19. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, "Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink." Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, and the son of Igladaliah, I think that's how you pronounce it, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Then I set before his sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and said to them, "Drink wine." But they said, We don't drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, "You shall drink no wine, nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor any of these things. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners." Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses to dwell in, nor do we have a vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But as it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, "Come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians." So we dwell at Jerusalem. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." Praise the Lord. So we've got a prophet of God here, goes out, and tells these people to drink wine. Takes them into the house of the Lord. Sets the bowls of wine there for them. Wow. What are you going to do? Suddenly one day somebody comes before us. Well-known minister, preacher, prophet. And he sets before us this feast and says, "Right, I want you to partake of this. This is good. This is for you." And the rest of it, you're going to just dive in without thinking about it. You're going to say, "Hang on a minute. What's God told us to do? What did he say we must do? What's his word to us?" And Jeremiah prophesied to the Rechabites in accordance with what God had told him. And just a quick note here, this is from the New King James Version from the Study Bible. It's just a little bit that was in there I spotted about the Rechabites, and I thought I'd just read it to you. It says, "The Rechabites were a Kenite tribe founded by Jonadab, the son of Rechab. They were convinced it was easier to live a godly life as nomads than in a settled life of the cities, where they would be tempted with idolatry and immorality. They didn't drink wine or other intoxicating drink. They chose to live in tents rather than houses. So they protected their life. They wanted to make sure that they didn't get drawn aside by all the luxuries and things that the cities and the large populated areas could give them. Yeah, it might look good, but if you're not able to hold your ground in the midst of that, you're better to get away from it. Like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife came after him. She says, come on, lie me, have sex with me. She grabbed hold of his coat and he fled. He fled, he ran from it. They ran from those situations. And when Nebuchadnezzar's army attacked Judah, the Rechabites sought refuge in Jerusalem. And at God's command, Jeremiah tested them to see if they would live up to their vows. He set wine before them and encouraged them to drink, but they refused. And Jeremiah praised them and held them up as an object lesson to the people of Judah who had disobeyed the laws of God. And because of their faithfulness, Jeremiah promised that the Rechabites would never cease to exist. And followers of this group still live in the Middle East, in Iraq and Yemen, today. Praise the Lord. The Rechabites didn't drink the wine because God had years ago told them not to. What Jeremiah prophesied to them did not ring true in their spirit. And the Rechabites responded correctly and held fast to the instructions they had previously received from God. They were being tested and passed the test. God used them as an example to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Jeremiah was correct to prophesy as he did, and the Rechabites were correct in rejecting the message. Not all prophecy from a true prophet will come to pass. Right. Oh, is that right? It is. Jonah, true prophet, sent to Nineveh, told him in 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And that's in Jonah chapter 3 verse 4. You see that. 40 days passed and Nineveh wasn't destroyed. Why? The people repented and God changed his mind. You'll see that in Jonah 3:10. The prophetic word from God delivered by the prophet Jonah had achieved what God had sent it forward to do. Praise the Lord. Jonah was a true prophet, even if on this occasion it took some significant pressure from God on him to make him go and deliver the message. So we have to interpret what's being said to us. Jonah 4:2-3. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. My prophecy hasn't come to fulfillment. I went and said you were going to do this and you haven't. How am I going to live, Lord? Everybody's going to laugh at me because I said you were going to do something and you didn't, Lord. And yet I did what you said." Yeah, those sort of words ring true at times, don't you? Other people you hear in your head. Jonah was not happy with the result. He was more concerned about the fact that the words he delivered didn't come to pass. Sadly, he would rather have seen people destroyed than have one of his prophecies not come to pass. Jonah wasn't unique, as other prophets will have had the same attitude, not wanting to appear false prophets. But God is God. He rules and overrules, even with his own words. Because we only see that word written in a certain way, or we hear it in a certain way. But we don't know the end result of that word. We don't know the fulfulfillment of that word. What the purpose is really, word I went there. The purpose of that word. What's God hoping to achieve out of it? We see one thing. Jonah saw destruction. 40 days time. And then they're rotten, that lot. They're going to be destroyed. Eh? I'm telling them God's going to destroy them. But that wasn't the purpose of God warning them he'd destroy. And God would have, if they hadn't repented, no doubt about it, his word would have been fulfilled. But God had a caveat in there that he kept for himself. But if this does what the job I want it to do, which he knew it would, then I'll be able to turn that around. He'll give a preceding word. We get a word from God, start putting it into action, and God appears to change his mind, and we look like we got it wrong. Not so. What we were instructed to do brought about change that enabled God's ultimate plan to come to fruition. Isaiah was a true prophet of God, yet he spoke a word from God that didn't come to pass. Isaiah 38 verse 1. Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And this was, he was prophesying to Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah heard the prophecy, he prayed and asked God to change his mind. So the prophecy had also changed Hezekiah's mind, changed his heart, it had done something in him. And suddenly it brought him up short and made him realize, hang, I need to get myself back in line. And what happened? The word of the Lord then came a second time to Isaiah. And Isaiah 38 verse 5 says, go tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. So there was some repentance in there. So, and surely I will add to your days 15 years. The result of true repentance. Hold on to prophetic words. Judge and test prophetic words. Judge them by the word of God and inward witness. Stay submitted to the word of God. Every word of God is submitted to the word of God. The God of the word is love, full of mercy, and his heart will always be made manifest through the word he speaks. It's important that we remember that. Circumstances in our lives will at times contradict the words God has spoken to us and over us. And how often have you seen that with people? They've had a word spoken over their lives or something. I can look at my own life. If I look at some of these prophecies I was looking at and stuff, and you see, well, at times you'd have thought, that ain't going to happen. You know, he's going the opposite direction. His life would put him on a different direction. That's not coming to pass. But far from it, God's working out his plan. And it was necessary to go there to be able to go there, to go to A to be able to go to B. And circumstances at times, as I said, will contradict the words God has spoken to and over us. But they don't really. If we are to pass the prophetic test, we must hold on to the words God has spoken to us. Don't allow circumstances to stop you believing what God has spoken. God tests our faith with the prophetic word, but he tests our character with his written word. Praise the Lord. And it's that character that is the important thing. Have we got the character to hold on to what he said, to believe him, regardless of what's happening around us, no matter what people think of you, no matter how many people put you down, no matter how many times you slip up and make a mistake, and that, hold on to his written word, believe what God said, and it will come to pass. Doesn't matter how many years it takes, and it doesn't matter how many people write you off, it doesn't matter what they think. The important thing is between you and your Father, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. And whatever happens, don't let go of the things God has spoken. Keep faith in God's word. Joseph went through many circumstances where he could have let go of the dreams God had given him. If he had, he would not have made it to the destiny to which God had called him. What did the Apostle Paul say about the prophetic word? 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 21. Don't quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Holding on to prophecies requires effort, determination, and faith. It's that very thing I was on about character, hanging in there. Are you going to be a moaner and a groaner? Or are you going to be somebody who says praise the Lord and gives him praise, honor, and worship and joys in what you're going through, knowing it's leading to a greater thing in him? Philippians 3:12 says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And this is the Apostle Paul talking in his letter to the Philippians. And Paul wanted more than anything else to lay hold on what Jesus Christ had planned for him. And when we read his letters to the various churches in Asia and the various other places, the Book of Ephesians, you've got Philippians, Thessalonians, and the whole sort of realm of them there, and you see, and you read his writings, you see the encouragement, the way he encourages people to hold on, you see what he suffered and went through. He was beaten, left for dead several times. Awful things happened to him. But he lay hold of what Christ had for him. He didn't give up because things looked tough, because the going didn't suit him. How many people have walked away when suddenly things aren't going good the way they wanted them to go anymore? This required Paul to push forward, resist opposition, and exert effort to hold on to the words God spoke over his life. And if Paul had to do it, so will we. Paul wrote to Timothy about the struggle all of us must go through. And 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20 says, "This charge I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected, concerning the faith of suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." He's writing to Timothy, and he's telling him that he may wage a good warfare, and having faith and a good conscience. And Paul says it is by those prophecies that Timothy will wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Holding on to prophetic word is absolutely critical to fulfilling God's call on our lives. God will not enforce something on you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He gives them out, they're there. But it takes a willing participant. He will not force you. Yes, he'll let circumstances drive your life, put you in positions where it'll challenge you, make you think about it, and you'll think, hang on a minute, I think I'd rather God's way than my way, because his way is best. His love is challenging us all the time, trying to get us to that place. But at the end of the day, you've got a free will, and it's up to you as to whether you will go on in him or not. So it won't be easy. There will be warfare. And I remember a prophecy I had over my life where it told me there would be warfare, there'd be struggles. And there was a lot more to it. But it's come to pass, and it's still going on. Paul tells of two who did not hold to the prophetic words of God. And we read those names before, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And Paul is saying it's blasphemous to reject a true word from God. They were delivered to Satan and suffered shipwreck. But the aim being to bring correction to their lives. What I was saying about God sometimes lets people go off into certain areas. Sometimes we would try and grab them back, and I said, but it's no good. You're not doing them any favours. Let them go. Let them suffer out there. Now that sounds hard, doesn't it? But it's the end result God's after. It's the correction in their life. It's putting them back in a place where his love and blessing can work in their lives, where they can gain salvation. Because it's to him that completes the race that the crown's laid up for, who endures to the end. So the aim being to bring correction to their lives. And I've often wondered if they ever did repent. We don't know whether they repented or not. But they were put in a position where they could, where God had given them every chance to bring correction to their lives. And perhaps we're struggling in areas and thinking the enemy's having a go at us. Maybe we need to look a bit closer sometimes and think, hang on a minute, is there a lesson here I need to learn, Lord? Are you trying to tell me something? Is this come about because I was out of line? Only one person can prevent you from entering your destiny. You. Lots of people have let go of the things God has spoken over their lives, forgotten what God has said about their destiny, or stopped believing it. They've allowed circumstances to cloud their vision and convince them it'll never happen. Let's not let go of what God has spoken over our lives and believe him. we need to keep the fire burning. Really important. Get to know God's written word. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. It is the key to seeing God's prophetic word fulfilled in our lives. Praise the Lord.